Yeah, David?
Do you want to go back?
Back where?
Back to the best.
Back to the best?
Back to the best.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of
Back to the best.
I'm David.
And I'm Grace, and this is our podcast where we talk about all the best things from the 90s to the 2000s, which is also known as
The best times. To all of our first-time listeners,
welcome
to all of our former besties returning.
Welcome back.
I really left you hanging there.
That's okay. We're
singing.
In person. I added singing. I added a little vibrato. Mm-hmm. And if anyone could see how big David and I smile when we do the intro in person.
I think that it comes across.
It's joy.
I think.
It feels like joy.
It's spring.
It's like spring outside, like
it's
the weather.
Like, yeah, it's a very nice day.
Very
it's
nice.
So nice out right
oh
now.
Oh my God, it's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Borderline
outside.
Hot.
Almost too hot.
Mm-hmm.
But beautiful.
Almost too hot.
Not, actually, not too hot.
No. If you're in the direct sun.
Well, that, yeah.
But they had paved the road, and I think it's a good day to pave the road because talk about it, probably dried in 5 minutes. It probably dried in like that.
If there's one thing Grace and I know a lot about,
it's paving roads. And when is the best time to do it?
Hot
spring.
Day. Oh.
But spring is like a hot day.
Yeah.
On a hot day in spring.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, hi.
Hi, how are you?
We can't be trusted.
I'm great.
Oh, good.
How are
good.
You?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. You know what I was thinking?
What?
Nobody does the like thing on TV where they are just like sitting there and then they're like, oh, I didn't see you there anymore. I was thinking about our intro as mm-hmm. I was driving over here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just picture us being like the,
oh, hey. It's such a 90s, like, even it made me think of like a theme song montage mm-hmm. where like someone would be like, it'd be like the music playing and they like, you know, Seventh Heaven came to mind, of course, but like say someone's like working on a car and then they go like, and they like pretend that the camera caught them. Mm-hmm. It's like, we need more of that.
Also, I was driving by the Seventh Heaven church the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Something was filming there and I know it wasn't Seventh Heaven, but anytime I see something filming there, I'm always just like, are the Camdens inside?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They use that church for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think Young Sheldon uses it a lot.
Oh. The Office has used it.
Couldn't name
another
thing. They,
but if you go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/backtothebest, and really dig through there, there is a video where we went to that church.
And sing.
And, and there might be some other titles that we mentioned.
Yes. Yeah, because we had
They're
Googled.
There. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just knew it off the top of our heads.
Yeah, that was the old us. We really want to do YouTube videos again, though.
We do. And we will.
We will.
I mean, we put up interview clips on YouTube, so you can go find those there.
That's true. We're still active.
We have to discuss. I feel like Lindsay Lohan comes up probably more than she should on this podcast.
No, she always should.
But we just love her.
We love her.
Freaky Friday, too.
Oh, did you see? You probably obviously did. Jamie Lee Curtis and her and Lindsay Lohan in that pic.
Together?
So cute. I want us to recreate that picture somehow. I'll dye my hair red. You put on a wig. Done.
Done. But it sounds like it's happening.
It totally
There's
sounds like it's happening.
There's a plot out there where they're mm-hmm. both going to switch bodies. Lindsay's a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Lee, of course, then that makes her a grandma.
They Science. Switch bodies with each other. No.
I don't think so, is it? Okay, so here's what the rumored plot is. And mm-hmm. this article is in Entertainment Weekly, which we trust.
We trust and love.
New potential plot details for Disney's highly anticipated
mm-hmm.
sequel Freaky Friday 2 reveal that an adult version of Lindsay Lohan's character Anna might be a bit of a fun sucker herself as she and her mother Tess switch lives, not with each other this time, but with two teenage girls.
Oh, interesting. Obviously, that's going to make more sense when we see the movie.
So basically, days after the news broke that this was actually becoming a thing, the filmmaker put on Instagram story an open casting call to fill the new role of Anna's 14-year-old daughter, Harper. So Lindsay is a mom.
A mom. And she is in real life.
The call shared over the weekend describes Harper as a tomboy with a sharp sense of humor who's in a bit of a mood these days because her longtime single mom
mm-hmm.
is set to marry British restaurateur. Is that how you say that? Restaurateur?
Yeah, I think.
Eric Davis.
I think
Eric also.
Oh.
has a 14-year-old daughter, Lily, who does not see eye to eye with Harper, even as their families are about to join together via marriage.
I think you did a really great job reading that.
Thank you.
I'm very much on the edge of my seat. I mean, I think if there's a plot out, it's going to happen.
I mean, it says here Entertainment Weekly viewed the audition sides, including 8 script pages sent to the prospective stars, which state this is a body swap scene and that Harper should channel Anna and Lily should channel Tess.
Mm.
I feel like it's weirder for Lily, the daughter of the fiance, to suddenly become her soon to be step grandma.
I wonder like how long they've been engaged. Like maybe they have more of a relationship than we know right now.
Maybe she just doesn't like the restaurant.
Oh, that's it. Freaky Friday 2. All about the restaurant that they hate. Well, I can't wait.
This isn't necessarily 90s to 2000s related, except that we also loved her in the 2000s as well. Mm-hmm. Beyonce's album.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Cowboy Carter. Incredible.
Incredible. You know I haven't listened to it yet. If you're new here, David knows the Muzak. I just trail behind. And I sort of know.
Grace, anytime a song or an album comes out, you just got to give her about 6 months.
It could be years.
I think the last Taylor Swift one, I texted her right when it came out. And I was like, you listening to the new T-Swift? And we all knew the answer.
No, I didn't. Mm-mm. But you know what? At least I'm honest. And it's now just like a little fun, quirky thing about me.
Yeah.
I just like don't. It's not that I have anything against them.
Mm-mm.
I'm just like I had a friend who used to, whenever a new album would come out, he would like order. This sounds like a dream, actually. He'd order his favorite takeout, drive up Mulholland, find a great spot, and sit and eat the food while listening to the new album.
That is beautiful. I've never wanted to do anything more.
I want to do it too. So maybe we should do that.
Okay.
And that might be how I transition into listening to music when it comes out. But
only with Takeout and Mulholland Drive.
With Takeout and Mulholland Drive.
That's so you.
But it's so me. But I'm sure I would love it.
You would.
Mm-hmm.
I think anyone who listens to it would.
Yeah.
Her version of Jolene.
So good. It has to be. I didn't even know she was going to have a version of
and
that.
She like, oh, I don't even, I'm just going to play it for you after this because we can't play it on here because like copyright.
Yeah, no, we would never. Unless you want to let us Beyonce, which would be.
There's some lyric changes.
Mm.
The whole thing is great. No, we love Beyonce.
Oh, love her.
And you know who else we love?
Heather Matarazzo. Guys, take a moment. Close your eyes. Not if you're driving. Please do not close your eyes if you're driving. No. Okay.
But if you're just sitting.
If you're just sitting.
If you're on Mulholland Drive.
If you're on Mulholland Drive with your takeout. Oh, I just really want to do anything like that. And just go back to your couch.
I'm there.
Maybe high school, middle school. Depends what age. But you're watching The Princess Diaries.
Am I watching one or two? Just one. Trying to get it right. My eyes are actually
one.
Closer.
It's a really great question. You're Thank watching you. One. The movie starts. You get into it a bit. And then there you see Lily. She's funny, quirky. She basically has a podcast.
Shut up and listen.
Shut up and listen, guys. We got to speak with Lily from The Princess Diaries. You can open your eyes now.
Eyes are open.
Eyes are open. Everyone open.
Not only is she Lily in The Princess Diaries, but she is Dawn in Welcome to the Dollhouse. She is Martha in Scream 3 and came back to play the same role in the 2022 Scream. And she is Tia in the movie Saved, which we just really do just love all of these movies.
Oh my God, we love them so much. And getting the chance to talk with her about her experiences was a dream come true.
We talk all about the movies that we just mentioned.
Yeah. So if you like those movies, if you like Heather Matarazzo, I think you should keep listening.
Stick around.
It's probably one for you.
We had the best time talking with her. And I think that we should just
give them what they want. Get to it, girl.
Here is our chat with Heather Matarazzo.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
How are you?
We're good. Thank you so much for doing this.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So the question that we kind of start off with everyone is basically, how did you know that you wanted to be an actress? I know you were like 7 whenever you started. So was it basically something that has just always been there for you?
Yes. I really love Morgan Freeman's quote when he won, I think it was a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golden Globes. And he said, I don't know if I chose acting or acting chose me. So that's really kind of how I feel about it.
What was the first maybe role that you had, or if it was just like a little thing that you maybe did at home movies, watching a TV show and reciting the lines?
The first thing I ever did was an NYU short film when I was seven that ended up winning an Academy Award for Best Student Film. That was given to the director by Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay.
And I remember that being a massive deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't become an actor because I wanted to be famous. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that I understood what that was. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand awards or any of those things. So when that happened, the adults around me were just absolutely overwhelmed and overjoyed. And I didn't understand the impact that has on people until I got older. You know, but just pretty much right out the gate, I was blessed with an abundance of great material.
Oh my God. I mean, your first feature being Welcome to the Dollhouse, such a good movie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I just rewatched not too long ago. And like, I don't know if it's the nostalgia factor, but it definitely still holds up and is still just such a good movie to watch. And you're incredible in it. And you were what, 11?
Yeah, I was 11. I mean, I think there's something to be said. You know, I feel that one of the reasons that movie does hold up so well is that at its core, it never tried to be anything other than what it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids, whether or not there's social media or phones involved, kids are vicious.
Mm-hmm.
But other kids, and bullying has been around, I think, pretty much as long as human beings have been around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that resonates, I feel, across the board.
Oh yeah. I feel like maybe not just 90s movies, but you see a lot more of the, at the time, stereotypical bully, like the guy on the playground verbally, or unfortunately sometimes physically, being a bully. And today, I mean, I have a baby, but she's not even a year old, so I don't know this yet, but kids are always on their phone. It's such a digital age that I think it's almost, it's changed from what it used to be. And now, unfortunately, it's like cyber. It's on their phones. It's like a whole different beast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know, well, I mean, Heather, you don't know anything for sure, but I have a strong inkling that if social media had been around when I was coming up, I mean, publicly and privately, I would not have survived. Like, I'm so grateful that pretty much my whole entire childhood and adolescence was analog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't understand how people do it now. You know, and it goes, and it's interesting just in terms of physiologically and psychologically, and just getting to see how, to a certain degree, like personalities have changed, you know, since the introduction of this technology, and what holds focus and what pulls focus,
mm-hmm.
and what people are truly interested in. It's like anything else, you know. I say that technology is like electricity, you know, where it's neutral and it can be very, very helpful, and it can be very, very harmful.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
yeah.
On whether you put your finger in the proverbial socket.
Oh yeah. It's ups and downs of everything, especially with social media. It has good qualities, but then there is a side of it that, and there's also just so much that we consume. It's like more than anyone needs to, you know, and
oh,
you can't, 100%. You can't, yeah, it's too much to take in.
It absolutely, absolutely is. And I feel that we also are now getting access to a lot of information that previously would have missed us. The other side of that is the absolute deluge of misinformation. And now with AI making its appearance in the 21st century fold, it is going to get harder and harder and harder to figure out what is true versus what is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, it's easy enough to make anybody kind of apathetic or just choosing to disengage because it is so confusing. And it requires more brain power than I think any of us have mm-hmm. in any moment. It's like, I don't want to have to then fact check for the next 20 minutes to find out if the thing Everything. That I saw.
I feel like people just don't even bother to fact check things anymore. They'll just see one tweet and then that's it.
Just run
that's
with the it. Truth. So, yeah.
Honey, I learned that lesson years ago. Mm-hmm. Like I've stepped in informational shit more times than I care to count. And so I've learned that it's easier to just fact check and also just to keep my fucking mouth shut, yeah. you know?
Everything gets taken out of context too. You can't, no, like, we can't win. No one can win.
Like, who gives a shit what I have to say? It's not that fucking important.
We care.
You know, I appreciate that, but I'm definitely a lot more selective now with what I choose to engage with, especially on public forums.
Totally fair and understandable.
I feel like that's everywhere. Like whenever Twitter first came out, I feel like nobody was thinking at all before they would type something and hit send because nobody was thinking about their tweets being around 10, 15, 20 years yeah. later that people can go back and
because
find.
you didn't have any idea. There was no concept of it. It was all new.
None.
And had no worldly thought that would be in a couple years where everything would go. Mm-hmm. It was yeah. kind of innocent when these things first started.
It always is.
Yeah, it always is. It always is.
Even like with, you know, actors, I feel like if you were a child actor now getting started, just getting into this industry is so different now because you have to keep up with mm-hmm. your TikTok, your Instagram, online auditions versus whenever you're getting into Welcome to the Dollhouse and things like that.
I mean, yeah. And the thing is that it's such, I really do believe that every single part that I am seeking is also seeking me. Mm. I believe that is true for every single actor out there. I think that people get caught up in the illusion, and it's an illusion that was brought to me by a previous manager years ago when it was like, you need to get your social media numbers up. Because I was hardly on Twitter. I barely knew how to use it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, casting directors and whatever, looking at like the follower count and blah, 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 blah. And like, we really need to get your follower count up. And I think it's, I can understand in one space because you want to make sure that like if you're on a hit show or you're going to be in a big film that you're going to, that the distributors or, you know, studio is going to want you to have the widest reach possible. And I also feel like it's also not really true mm-hmm. at the end of the day. If producers and distributors want their film to be successful, they're going to put in enough money for a marketing campaign. They're going to hire social media managers to shepherd whatever star they want to or need to shepherd in terms of getting their social media to where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, yeah. I think it's just a fear-based tactic.
Yeah, it's such mm-hmm. a game.
Yeah, that just doesn't really hold any fucking weight.
Mm-hmm. No, it also, I feel like with streaming and everything today, it is so probably stressful for people creating a show or a film because the turnaround and people consume things so much at once rather than when we were growing up, it was like you waited until Saturday night to see that show or Thursday night to see that show. And there was more of like a calmness to it. That's at least how I feel. And mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, I love to binge a show, but it's like constantly dishing stuff out and dishing stuff out. And it's just, that's why I do love to cling to like watching a show from when I was growing up and being like, oh yeah, I remember when this episode came out and I waited all week and it was so worth it.
Yeah. And the truth is that we have that with Game of Thrones. We have mm-hmm. that with certain shows, you know, and I think that there's something that happens once in a while and it's kind of like trying to capture a genie in a bottle where you have a show that comes out that enough people are excited about and intrigued by that a community gets formed. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like not every show is the same in terms of like, oh, I'll just binge it. Like we still do have those pockets where HBO will release a show weekly, like The Regime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That just came on that I am loving.
Mm-hmm. I started that one.
It is so uncomfortable. It is unlike anything I've ever seen. And Kate Winslet is just brilliant. She is just brilliant. And she does this specific thing with her mouth where she talks a little like this, but, and I'm not even doing a great job with it because it goes bad, but she just does something with her lip that just shifts to the left a little bit that makes her speech so jarring, but it's, you can't get enough of it, or at least I can't.
I need to watch
this. My mom has been loving this, and so I need to check it out. I haven't started yet, but I need to check it out.
And it's interesting to see just how easily, like, it's such a great examination of how power shifts.
I'll probably do this after we get off this interview. I'll check out the first episode.
I love it. Amazing.
We talked briefly on, like, communities forming around shows. Movie franchises, mm-hmm. though, yours included with Scream, that whole series, the fan base behind it still is insane. Were you a fan mm-hmm. of the movies before you joined the franchise?
Yeah, I mean, the first premiere I ever went to was the Scream premiere. And I historically had not been a fan of horror because I would absorb what was on the screen as opposed to just observing it. Mm-hmm. And I was way too sensitive, you know, but Wes had done something that was ingenious where he is a master of walking that tightrope between something that is terrifying and also hilarious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was a master at that, mm-hmm. you know? So when they came to me about Scream 3, I was over the moon and surprised and excited and delighted and just so happy that I got to be a part of that space.
I went on opening night to see the newer Scream back in 2022. And I'm not kidding. Uh-huh. My entire theater like cheered whenever you popped up on the screen again, because I don't know if it was announced or if maybe just no one around me knew that you were going to be there. But yeah. Everybody was so excited to see you pop up.
Yeah, they kept that under wraps. They wanted it to be like a surprise for the audience. So there was never an announcement that I was coming back.
Oh, it was so
fun. Oh, I love when that happens.
We didn't know made it like 10 times better too.
Oh, I love that. That makes me so happy. Like it makes me so happy because I really love the Scream fandom. You know, I'm not going to be like Marianne Margulies and tell people like Scream is for children and whatnot, like, because you guys saw that, right? When she was like really kind of concerned about people that were still obsessed with Harry Potter all these years
later.
Yes. I'm like, let people have their simple pleasures. Mm-hmm. The world is on fire.
Let us have
you
this.
Know what I mean?
Yes.
Let them adore Luna Lovegood and Professor Snape. You
it's
know,
so true.
And we do adore them and we always will. Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. And I do what I can to make sure that J.K. Rowling doesn't get any of my money too. Mm-hmm.
It's a tough line. It's a tough line.
I know, it's a tough line.
It is a tough line, but no one said it would be easy.
Mm-hmm. At least when you watch like DVDs, that feels a little bit more like I bought it when I was what? 13. So you're not like continuously. Mm-hmm. Like I love having DVDs because you're not like restreaming anything. It's like a physical thing.
Yeah. No, I know. And I actually at some point, probably within like at some point, I definitely have to go on a DVD buying binge. Mm-hmm. You know, because there are so many things that aren't available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Via
yeah.
you know, and I think that we all kind of got suckered into believing like, oh, well, no, everything is just going to be on streaming and it'll be totally fine. And there are so many things that you can't find. I don't subscribe to Disney Plus, but didn't they take like the, like Willow didn't get renewed for a second season and they took a long time for a season, which is heartbreaking.
I don't get it. Just leave it up there.
Yeah. And they often just don't really say anything. It just disappears. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I definitely have to do a major shopping spree. Yeah.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah. David and I both have a bunch of DVDs.
Too many.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Too many.
You can never have enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Alphabetical. The best.
I love it. I love it.
We, of course, like everybody else our age and around our age, loved you in the Princess Diaries movies. When did you first hear about the Princess Diaries?
I'll tell you exactly. I was despondent because a TV show that I had done on CBS called Now and Again had just been canceled by CBS. And I was like, oh my God, am I ever going to work again? What the hell's going on? Like, I was really banking on the show getting another season, especially because the creator of the show had left it as a cliffhanger for end of season one.
Oh no.
I know, right? And a few weeks later, I got a call from my then manager saying that they wanted me to audition for Princess Diaries. And I think it was that the audition process, I don't know if I went in once or twice, but I just remember being with Annie in LA and we'd known each other from like the New York audition scene. And so like, I just remember being at Gary's Theater in Toluca Lake, which was at the time the Falcon Theater, which is now the Gary Marshall Theater.
Oh yeah.
And just Annie and I going into this room, and it was Gary and I think Marsha Ross, who's the casting director. And we just did like a bunch of different playful things. And then we shot it. I think we started shooting in either August or September of that year. And I always say that if that show hadn't gotten canceled, I wouldn't have been able to do Princess Diary. Mm-hmm. You know, so I do see that like, at least in my experience, when the universe does shut a door, like a window most certainly does open.
And did you ever, were you interested in any other parts? Was it just Lily that you were kind of drawn towards?
I was never really kind of that actor that was like, well, I don't know, but maybe that's small, maybe not. You know, you've got to have a certain amount of trust in casting directors that, you know, they see something in you for a specific role, you know, and obviously they were right.
It was perfect. Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
I can't even tell you how many times I've watched both Princess Diaries movies as an adult now, especially because we talked about Disney Plus and both of them are streaming on there.
Yeah. It's interesting because I now get a lot of flack about Lily being a toxic friend. And how people really think that she was just the absolute worst, you know, and in some ways something people don't understand is like, I didn't write it.
Yeah.
You're
reading the lines.
Like me, Heather would never be like, your dad's been dead for 3 months. Like, are you over it yet? Like, no. That is horrible, horrible thing to say. You know? But I'm paid to say these lines, you know, not write your job. Script. And who the hell am I going to be at like 16 being like, listen, Gary, I don't know.
Gary Marshall here.
Gary, if you ask me, which you're not, but I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you how to do your job, Mr. Creator of Happy Days.
Yeah, no big deal.
Pretty Woman and Overboard and Laverne and Shirley and
yeah.
Mork and Mindy and God knows what else, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I can see, I can understand like where people are coming from to a certain degree, but sometimes it gets a little like, whoa, buddy, I just was playing a role. This is a person, you know, and it was, it's interesting to see, you know, like what holds up and what doesn't hold up, you know. And I think too that idea of, oh, you take off glasses and you straighten the hair and all of a sudden you're beautiful, like, which was very on par with like the late 90s, early 2000s with like She's All That, you know, all of those other things, like 10 Things I Hate About You, I guess, to a certain degree. Can't hardly wait. Just, you just gotta take off the glasses and all is well.
That's
You're, oh my God, you're pretty.
Oh, I remember when I first saw The Princess Diaries, and then of course the scene when Mia has, specifically for me, it was the hair transformation that really just took me. I was so obsessed with it, and I wanted that for me. I was like, well, how did she do that? How did they get her hair to look so, it was such a contrast of difference in everything about her. And I remember so well that that really stuck with me as like a young girl being so focused on how her appearance changed and then how her life changed. And it was kind of like, oh, well, that's what I need to do. That was what I need to do.
You know, like it's we do what we can with what we've got at the time. You know what I mean? Like if this was today, it would be, I think, a wee bit of a different story, you know,
Yeah,
for
oh
sure.
yeah.
And I know that Annie feels the same way, which is great, you know, because it really is that thing of like, you're beautiful because of this, not because of
The hair.
this. And it sounds like, and it sounds like, well, that's something an ugly person would say, you know. But it's really true, because you know what? Like I've met some what one would possibly consider to be like aesthetically beautiful, and I meet their I their mouths open and I'm like, wow, we're a bag. Like, no, this is not it,
Oh,
you know.
yeah.
I mean, and just like the whole idea of like what is considered beautiful versus what is not considered beautiful, how that changes as society and cultures change. I look at the Rubenesque paintings during the Renaissance, where it was like curvy women were it. Like there was no fat phobia going on then. You know, it was like, oh, you're healthy and you're well fed.
Oh yeah. It was just at that time that was the thing. It was like, what supermodel? I cannot remember her name, but it was the quote, like, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. Remember that quote? I remember that bouncing around. And I always was like, I can't agree with that. Like, have you had French fries? They're like really good. You know, like, have you had some food? But it was a total quote. Like a girl in high school, it was just the time. Everyone was just like, you were stick thin, or it was nothing. A size zero. Everyone talked about wearing size zero jeans.
We're
I remember
double
that.
zero. Oh,
Yeah. And I
oh.
was like, oh, I don't even know. I'm a medium. Like, I didn't know what size jeans I was. Oh, so stressful.
I mean, post-pandemic, I mean, listen, I was thriving in my sweatpan era.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Oh, like,
the best it's a
great
like
time.
still I'm still in it.
Hard pants, get thee away from me.
I don't want to button
I'm with
anything.
you. No.
I don't want to button a single thing
Mm-mm.
ever. But I did wear hard pants for this, so you're welcome.
Oh my God, you did not have
Wow.
to. If you need to pause and just switch, we will gladly wait because you do not have to do that. We're not worth
We are
it.
not at all.
It's all right. It's all right. All right, Heather. We're gonna take one for the team. I'm gonna wear hard pants
She's so
today.
brave today. So
Yeah.
brave.
Yeah, but I only had a button, a single button. So
Oh,
not
okay.
bad. That's
There you
not too
go.
bad.
Well, we'd also love to know, because of course, Julie Andrews, the icon. Do you remember when you first met Julie Andrews, and do you have any stories from just being around her?
I'm a fucking nerd. I'm a musical theater nerd. Like, I have the original My Fair Lady on Broadway on vinyl with Julie Andrews as star, you
Oh
know.
my gosh.
And So I had her sign. I don't know if it wasn't my Sound of Music vinyl because my dad had thrown out all the musical vinyls. I was so pissed.
Oh no.
So I think I had to get a CD and I had her sign it. And at the time, I think I was way too intimidated to really feel worthy of like developing any kind of relationship with her. And I like, and me and Mandy were just, we were both just in awe and starstruck. And then when the second one happened, Princess Diaries 2, I felt a little less intimidated, but not to the point that I was like, oh my God, so can we please talk about Carol Burnett? Like, can we please talk about like Victor Victoria? Like, can we please talk about your husband, Blake Edwards, and can we just talk about all of the things? Because I think, because like the truth is, when I get excited about something, I get really excited about something and I don't shut up.
I'm the same way. Like, I
I
have such
get
bad word
that.
vomit. We totally relate. We totally relate.
Just I want to know everything. Just tell me everything. And I didn't do that, which on one hand, I really kind of kicked myself for, because I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know, because that idea of I was raised in a household that was very much be quiet until you're spoken to. Don't bother other people. Don't ba ba ba. And yeah, just was way too intimidated. But if a third one were to ever happen, I most certainly would ask her the questions and be much more calm about it.
You can prep, you've had, so you can like rehearse them.
I might just pop an edible beforehand.
Really chill.
I'm just like, okay, now I can chill.
So Julie,
Hey, Jules, you want to talk?
Jules.
Jules.
Hey, Jules.
You go from like scared to like we're best friends, right? Remember me?
I mean, it's listen, man, I'm so grateful, like on one hand that I started so young. However long I've got left, and if I get those opportunities to work with people that I really respect and love, that I don't make the same mistake twice.
Yeah, you can't let those opportunities go.
And again, it's that weird thing of like I always felt on the periphery, like I never felt like I was
Like on the
in.
set, you mean?
No, I think just in general, and especially in this industry, like it was never, I never knew how to like play the game. I never knew how to like do the thing. So I wasn't at like the parties where you meet the people. I was in like one of the rows at Barnes and Noble, like looking up Nikki Giovanni poetry. You know what I mean? Like, which is totally cool. well, I mean, but like, oh, for fuck's sakes, this experience is a weird one. Just live.
I was just going to ask, because you mentioned The Princess Diaries 2, what was your reaction when you found out there was going to be a second one? Were you surprised,
No,
excited,
I was
all the
under
things?
contract. I just to reiterate the point that I made, where it's like I was never really good at the game. I don't understand success in terms of like box office shit. Like, let me read the trades over the weekend and see how many like whatever. But I knew that like my contract was that there would be a second one if the first one was successful. And that it was just they're going to write the script, and when they think that the script is ready, we will shoot the next one. That's what happened.
Got
Thank
it.
God they did.
Yeah.
Looking back, do you have a favorite scene from The Princess Diaries, either one that was your favorite to shoot, or one maybe just watching the film that you really enjoy?
I have to say it's probably the unscripted bleacher moment with Annie. Because we were filming in San Francisco and it had been drizzling, and And Gary is always very much, he's really an actor's director and really gives a variety of physicalities. You'll notice that in a lot of his films, how, like Georgia Rule, for example, like, you know, you'll watch Jane Fonda and she always has some kind of prop in her hand. You know, she's always got some kind of business happening. So for that scene in particular, Gary was like, why, you know, just like go up, walk up and down the steps as you're talking. And I was like, okay, great. And so we did that. And then Annie slipped and fell. And most actors would want the scene stopped and like to get looked at and like whatever. And this bitch just kept going. And I'm like, yes, you are my kind of actor. Like, yes. Let's keep going. And it just, it said a lot to me about, you know, even then who she was as an actor and her generosity as an actor. And that when you're able to be so present and so in the moment, even a trip doesn't slip you up, pun intended. So yeah, that would probably be my favorite for sure.
Oh, it is such a good scene.
It's such a great scene. It feels so natural, actually. It's such a nice, memorable scene from the movie.
Yeah. I mean, she's great at physical comedy. She's underrated when it comes to physical comedy, or underestimated, more appropriate word.
And just your chemistry the entire movie is so good. Was it like an instant bond whenever you met in person? Because it really just comes across and, you know, as on screen.
So my birthday is November 10th. Gary's is November 13th. And Annie's is November 12th. So oh, wow. We were just a trifecta.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I think that it was an instant love fest for both of us. You know, and it's been a relationship that has lasted now well over 20 years. And it's like one thing that Gary knew, I mean, Gary knew how to do many things well, but one thing he knew how to do well was connect people to each other that had that creative spark or what have you. Yeah, very, very, very thankful that I've been very, very, very blessed with the abundance of opportunities to work with really talented and even more importantly, kind people.
I think Lily has some of the best lines from the movie. And I just have to say how much this is like a fangirl moment, but when Lily's running after me and Michael, and you probably hear this all the time. She's like, hey, wait up, wait for me. Not you. I don't even know you. Like my cousins and I still quote that to this day. It is one of the, because it was so real. Like we all want to just say things sometimes. And Lily's just like, no, not you. Like to these random people. And it is still one of our favorite lines from the movie. And I'm sure you hear that a lot, but I just wanted to say it to you that it's hilarious. You played it so perfectly and real, and it is so, so memorable.
I appreciate that. I receive that. I say thank you. And that was pretty much Deborah Martin Chase, who was one of the producers, came up with that line. I was like, Heather, why don't just like run down, just like turn to him and say like, not you, I don't even know you. And I was like, done. Done. Got it. Copy that. 10-4. So yeah, I always give credit where credit's due, and Deborah definitely came up with that gem.
Oh, it's so good. Because everyone looks when someone's running down the street.
Yeah.
Everyone looks.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're saying, hey, wait for me.
Yeah.
You're not using the name of the person.
Yeah.
You're just generalizing.
Anyone, and then all of a sudden you're annoyed that they looked as
yeah, fucking asshole. What the hell's wrong with you?
Obviously not you.
Obviously not.
Oh, it's so good.
Was it fun then, since you got to know Mandy Moore on this movie, then to work again with her on Saved?
Oh my god, it was so much fun. I actually, like, I was the second person I think attached to say Jenna Malone was the first. And then I brought Mandy up to Brian Dennehy and was like, Mandy might make a really good Hillary Faye.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily he agreed. Oh, and she is the only one that could Hillary Faye.
Oh my gosh, it's such a perfect casting. Okay, so you basically are a casting director as well. Add that to the resume.
I mean, I think where it's sometimes you get the gift of working with an actor and you see something in them that other people don't see because they haven't had the opportunity to have the intimate experience that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if there's enough trust as a fellow artist where it's like, hey, you know, I just work with this person. I know this person. I really feel that this person could do this justice, you know? And yeah. And then I think that she either met with Brian or auditioned. And then, yeah, we were up in Vancouver filming. Jesus. Yeah. It's like 2020. Jesus. How long ago? Like 21 years ago?
Because it came out in 2004, ago. So probably filmed, what, the year before? 2003-ish? That is also one of those
memories
I've watched so many times.
That movie was definitely way ahead of its time, for sure.
Oh my God, yeah. Are you working on anything right now? I know that you were just had a voice in that Disney movie Wish. Is there anything going on right now?
Let's see. I have a movie coming out, I think it's this summer, called Booger, which is a weird, oh my God, that sounds like my baby Tagalong.
I'm sorry if that made your dogs react at all either.
Oh, there's
if it was vice versa, Cor would have been like, oh, sorry, you were saying.
But no, I have a film coming out called Booger, I think this summer. And then I'm getting ready to start on a new project that I cannot talk about because I signed a bunch of NDAs.
Okay.
But I'm sure that announcement is going to be coming out soon-ish.
Well, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we will be on the lookout.
very thankful. I'm very excited. And yeah, it'll be a good time for sure.
Oh, great.
This is so
well,
exciting.
We can't wait.
Yeah.
Me either.
Thank you so much again for taking your time and chatting with us. We have loved everything about this.
Oh my gosh, such a pleasure. Thank you for having me and thank you for your willingness to reschedule. Well, thank you guys so much. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
Thank you.
It was nice to meet you.
You too. Bye.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about something the other day. I miss picking out phones.
Like going to the AT&T store and picking out a phone.
Well, it's like, yes, but just remember how many kinds of phones we could pick.
Oh my gosh. I remember, like, I always wanted the chocolate.
Yes.
Do you remember the chocolate?
Is that the one that, like, slid?
It was
had
a slide.
The slide keyboard?
And there was like a black one, a white one, and like maybe a red one, I think. But I remember friends of mine having those. And I remember my dad got a Razor.
Yes.
And I was like, I need to have that. But I do miss going to the AT&T store. And really, like, there was different options.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are options today, but
it's not the same. It's like you're going to get an iPhone or an Android.
It's kind of like one or the other. They aren't some trying to bring back flip phones. Like, there are some flip phones.
I just saw an ad or like photos from an ad with Sabrina Carpenter, and she had the whatever one that is like that flips now.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm not going to lie, I loved closing a flip phone.
So satisfying.
So satisfying.
You're getting off an angry call. I mean,
we would never
have an angry
call.
We
nice.
Are so polite.
No, I'm very polite.
But just slamming that closed.
And just with the two fingers. And then sometimes I remember when I was just like bored, I would just flip it. Like you would just flip the phone.
Somehow never broke.
Nope, never broke.
My Razor did go through the wash once.
Oh.
I had to get a new one.
Yeah, that really was not the time where things were like waterproof at all.
But I was thinking about it because not too long ago, Grace and I were going through, because we've mentioned several times that our moms save
everything.
And one of the things that we found in my childhood, like this box of stuff from my childhood, was the Hit Clip phone.
Mm-hmm.
That like, it wasn't a cell phone. It was one that you actually like plugged into the outlet.
Yep.
And you could like play your hit clips to whoever you were talking to on the phone.
On the phone. It's genius.
Genius.
Genius. Genius. Because now, I guess, okay, on an iPhone, if you made a phone call, you can't do that.
I mean, I guess you can like screen share now, right? On FaceTime?
Yeah. It's not the same.
It's not the same. It's the not technology the same. Back then.
Now you just go online, order a phone, and it shows up at your door. How dare they?
How dare
the convenience.
They?
Oh, it's so too rude. But you know who's not rude?
No.
Not rude and just lovely.
Heather.
Heather. Heather was so amazing.
We were talking before we got the chance to interview her. Mm-hmm. And I think that she really has been like towards the top of our list, like if not at the top since we started this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I remember once Grace was at Ralph's mm-hmm. and she saw her at the store mm-hmm. and was texting me and she was like, Lily from The Princess Diaries is at Ralph's mm-hmm. right now. If you're not from California, Ralph's is mm-hmm. a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And I was like, go up and ask her to be on the podcast. And little did we know, 5 years later.
5 years. That's usually how it works. We see someone in a grocery store. Five years later, they come on the podcast. Yep. It's just written in stone. Yep. That's just how it works. But no, the fact that I was able to sit there and over Zoom, you know, look at her and quote her line.
You really did it.
I just had to. And I'm so thankful that she didn't like, didn't she just was so gracious that I took that fangirl moment because yeah. I was like, I can't not.
She was gracious about everything.
About everything. And her dogs.
Her
animals
so cute.
In
her
general.
Animals, the cat.
But it was just, like David said, always a dream for us to have her on. So Heather, if you've made it this far.
Oh, God bless.
God Thank bless you. So Thank much. You so much for coming on and talking with us. And for those of you that have made it this far as well, thank you for,
so
being,
much
here
for
today.
Being here today. Thank
you for being here today.
I'm so sorry to anybody who was just wearing headphones.
Oh, we just had to, that was another moment we could not pass up.
You're all already probably following Heather on Instagram, but just in case you're not, do it right now. Mm-hmm. At Heather Matarazzo. It's her name.
Go give her a like, give her a follow, just go show her some love.
And she mentioned that there is going to be a new project mm-hmm. announced soon. Mm-hmm. So you definitely want to be following her for that.
So you don't miss it.
And then you also definitely.
We always know that we're going to make this transition into promoting our stuff, but it never feels good. It never feels like we can just do it.
You also definitely want to
definitely
be following us,
too. Following us too. You definitely do. You know, just, you know, BTTB podcast, Back to the Best. If you search either one of those on most of the platforms, you're probably going to find us.
Yeah, or just go to our website, bttbpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. It's all there.
What if someone found someone else and we have someone pretending to be us?
An impersonator?
We'd be flattered.
That's when you know
oh
you
my
make
God.
It.
Let us know if anyone's pretending to be us. We would
I mean,
love
what
it.
What do they say? Imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Anyway, we've got to go, I think.
Yes. Thank you to Heather. Thank you to you all for listening. And thank you in advance for tuning in next week.
Oh, we love you. We're already signing you up for next week, so you better be there.
Because I tell you what. Next week, we are going to keep taking you
back to the best. Bye. See you next week. You really signed them up for something.